My rainbow bright quilt?
I still have my rainbow bright quilt. Aww. It was the splurge. My mom splurged when I was a little girl. Single mom. My rainbow bright quilt that matches. What were those things called? The stars? The
sprites.
The sprites. That matches your sprite.
Yep.
We still have it.
My
we
red
use it on
sprite,
the boat.
Romeo.
Romeo.
That's his name.
Yeah.
We have a green one too, and I believe his name was Lucky.
Lucky. Anyway, Romeo, I have the quilt. You can come visit it on the boat.
I just watch the cartoons.
You have the cartoons?
No, like when I was a kid, and then we watch them on YouTube now. Just a little bit to show Kira.
Yes, that's what I should be doing. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I don't have the cartoons.
Yeah, okay.
I wish I did.
I know. I was going to say, Mary, share the cartoons.
I would if I had them.
All right, here we go.
Hello, and welcome to the Homestay Kitchen with me, Mary Chan, and Aaron Eastman. This is a podcast where we serve up stories of being a homestay family, the ups and downs of making a connection with international homestay students. We'll bring a plate full of stories, ideas, interviews, and hopefully dish up some anecdotes to share with our community.
We're back! Thanks for listening to our show and waiting so patiently for us to get some new episodes out. And so here we are, finally, in this episode, we go through what exactly happened and why we, mostly me, Mary, needed this unexpected break. And in these moments, I realized how important rest really is. And I wanted to share how this impacted the upcoming arrival of my sister's student. I'll also give you some tips on watching out for signs of burnout. And you will learn what you can do for yourself to get some self-care and rest. You need it in order to continue on with the day-to-day things in your life and absorbing all the lessons that you're learning. Especially for students, constant studying doesn't help your brain absorb all that information. So let's dive in. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Mary. I like your scarf today.
Oh, thank you.
It's the first thing I noticed.
Oh, it's cold out.
Well, it is cold, but it's also a hand knit.
Well, the sweater is a hand knit, too.
Well, yes, it is a hand knit. That's true. But the scarf just totally completes the outfit and is the darling.
Yeah, I usually don't put much effort into it. It was whatever I can grab. So
I'm now noticing that it matches the eyeglasses.
Well, I like teal.
It's your color.
It's the thing I go for.
The jewel tone?
Yes.
All right.
I had to get new glasses recently. Originally, she showed me like a dark purple. Which I liked.
Oh, yes, you do.
However, then I also needed to get separate computer glasses, and I gravitated towards these teal ones. Mm. And then for some reason, I didn't really like the dark purple anymore. I thought it was too black, too dark. And then I said, oh, would you have these in teal too? And then I didn't realize both my glasses now are teal.
They're both teal?
They're both teal.
And I love that you asked if she had it in teal. Yeah. You weren't there and you immediately gravitated towards it.
Exactly.
And did you already have the hand knit shawl in teal?
I've
so this
knit
wasn't
this a long
knit
time
after
ago.
The fact.
No.
Okay.
This would take too long to knit.
It would take too long to knit. I know. And I always see you wearing these and I think I need to knit one of these. But I always just knit for other people.
Like and that's
I think
your
I
thing.
Only have one toque or hat that I've knit for myself. But then I'm like, oh, yeah, I should knit for other people or I should knit for myself. But then I just start knitting for other people.
You love to give.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always say I'm a selfish knitter. I just want to keep everything for myself because after it's done, I'm like, oh, it's so soft and warm and squishy. I want to keep it. And so I just end up knitting for myself.
I wish I could be more like you, but I don't. I would just be like, oh, yeah, I really should knit on that. I should work on that. But the motivation to get something done to give to somebody else is what makes me accomplish
yes,
and finish the goal.
Finish it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that baby's coming. It needs its blanket.
That's true.
That's right.
Well, I'm just like, oh, just finish this whenever.
Okay.
And then sometimes it's another season before I actually get to wear it.
That's what's happening to me right now with the sweater that I started a long, long time ago. Anyway. But yes, but we're here to talk today, not about knitting.
Well, you know what? I do use knitting for when I rest. And we're going to be talking about resting.
Good.
Knitting is a great brain break. If you already have a pattern established and you can just knit and watch TV, it's a great little thing to keep your hands busy.
a good tool to, a brain break, a rest.
Rest. So what had happened was I decided not to take my sister's student anymore.
Okay.
So my sister was planning, quite a few episodes ago, we had talked about how my sister was planning a vacation in the new year, so now, and I was going to take her homestay student for the 10 days that she was gone.
Short
time. We had already met the student before. She had been here for quite a few months already. She knows the city. She knows how to get around town. She's very independent. She's an older student, 20-ish, I think. It was all set, ready to go. And then, unfortunately, my father-in-law ended up being in the hospital and in hospice and then eventually passing away.
I'm so sorry.
The whole time I wasn't even thinking of the student, right? I had come back home to rest because of the accident that I was in. We had talked about in the New Year's episode.
Yes, of course.
That has made my brain and my cognitive abilities a little bit more fatiguing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do something for too long of a period, I get really, really tired quickly and easily. So what had happened was, we also had 3 snow days in there too, which rarely happens here.
Yeah, like everything just kind of stops and forces you to slow down when it snows here in Victoria,
yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
But on the other hand, school and daycare was closed.
Exactly.
So my young little 3-year-old was home and I had to care for her, which takes a lot of energy out of my brain.
Physically draining.
And mentally. More mentally draining for me. And so that was 3 days. Then she was allowed to go back to daycare because school was finally open, only for one day because the next day was Pro D Day.
Which, can I just say, when you have a young one and you are messing up with their schedule so much, do you not find that that just wreaks havoc on them emotionally and everything is just like, you know, because I find consistency with you little kids is so key.
Yeah.
Like when you have like a school week or whatever the routine is, when you mess with their schedule like that, like everything else just goes out the window and then they're just testing boundaries and everything else. And it just makes it harder on the parents. It's almost better. Like I tried to keep my kids home for the entire week.
Oh, did you?
Rather than just that one day. But that one day to go was Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And my daughter was just like, no, but everyone's going to have the Valentine's Day cards. And then trying to find Valentine's Day cards in our house because we didn't get out to go anywhere. Right?
Yeah.
So we didn't have, luckily we had some from last year and we were able to like with our international students help them like write them all at 9 o'clock the night before because
awesome.
We weren't sure if schools were going to be open. Even for your young daughter, maybe I'm sure like things were hard to just go to that one day or the day after.
She is a little bit of the opposite of that.
Okay.
Only because while she was having her snow days at home, she kept asking if she could go back to school the next day.
Oh, really? Mine were all like, yay, we don't have to go to school. And my international students were like, yes, we don't have to go into our test. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone was just celebrating snow days. And I'm like, thank you. I don't have to make lunches. And like, we were all just like sledding down hills. But
like she had fun. We made.
Oh, yeah.
We made snow forts out of like our blue recycling bins, the big plastic bins. John had filled them full of snow. And then built it up like a wall.
Oh, beautiful.
And that was fun. And then he piled up all the snow and made a tunnel out of everything. And we made giant snowmen. And she loved it all, but she was still like, can I go to school tomorrow?
Oh, no. I was collecting teenagers in the neighborhood and we all had like those toboggans and we're going down this big hill. There was a 5-ton truck that got stuck going up a hill, a delivery truck. And so they had like cones built around it. And so there was this one hill in our neighborhood that, you know, nobody was using. No one was driving up it. And we could all go tobogganing down it. And so that's what we did.
Fun.
Our international students and local teenagers on that. Yeah, in our neighborhood. That's what we were doing. Everyone had a child and a hill.
Everyone had a child and a hill. And a toboggan.
So
yeah, she was loving the one day of school.
Okay, she was loving
She was loving the one day of school because she got all her Valentines too.
Okay.
But then the next day was a Pro D Day.
Right.
And then it was
Family Day
on the Monday. So it was a 4-day holiday with the 3 extra snow days. And before then, the weekend before then, we took the Friday off because we took the little one tubing for the first time up to Mount Washington.
Oh, beautiful.
So we had
lots of snow.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, six days off in a row.
And then you can use my hands.
I know, I'm counting with my fingers. And then we had the one day at school. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I need one of your fingers. So that's 11 days off.
Yeah.
That I had to be with her. Well, I had John in there too, but still.
Mostly
she's still like, Mommy, I need this and that. That's a lot of days. I normally do 3 days max, 2.5 days, and then I'm brain tired.
Yeah.
So after my accident, the amount of gas that's in my internal tank is quite small. That gas tank is quite small. So Kira takes a lot of it out of me.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Mount Washington and I was fine. We did the 3 snow days and I wasn't too bad. John took care of her most of the time because he had snow days too. But then when we had to go to Vancouver for my father-in-law being in the hospital, I ended up taking care of Kira mostly. And I wanted to make sure everybody was fed. So I was in charge of figuring out dinner, shopping for dinner, and making dinner and make sure everybody was fed when they came home from the hospital for a couple nights. But I think I only lasted about 2.5 days. And then I realized my body was not going to let me continue to do this. I was depleted. I remember chopping yams one night and wanting to just sleep.
And you're in an unfamiliar area, like not your usual.
Yeah. And I didn't have all my comforts of home.
Yeah.
I didn't have the things that I would normally do to keep my energy levels up. I didn't have any real break times. The only break times I had was when they also all came back for lunch. And so when they came back for lunch, I knew John could be with Kira. And then I went to have a nap.
Mm-hmm.
But as the days progressed, my naps turned from 10 to 20 minutes to an hour, to an hour and a half. And that's when I knew that I needed to rest. My body was telling me that if I kept going, that I would be useless to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So what we decided to do was I would just take Kira and bring her home because she would have daycare during the week. And then during that week when she is at daycare, I would have that time to rest. And John would stay with his family and he would end up doing the cooking and making sure everybody gets fed thing. So when I came home, the other resource that I went to was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the beginning, we were talking about my sister mm-hmm. and her having a student. So
yeah.
I just, before I got on the ferry to come back home, I just asked her, hey, tonight when I get in, her husband picked us up to at the ferry terminal, which was great.
Oh, beautiful.
Could we just come over for dinner tonight? And so she said, yeah, of course, for sure. I'll figure something out. And she made dinner for us. And while she was cooking, I had a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Kira ended up playing with her cousin. Mm-hmm. So she was distracted and that was great. And I could nap. And as we were eating dinner, my sister said, yeah, you know, if you want to come back anytime this week for dinner, that'd be great. I'm like, no, maybe just one other time. We're going to go back to Vancouver on Saturday. So maybe one other day this week. But the next day when I was making dinner by myself and having dinner with Kira and she was saying, can I go back and play with my cousin? I realized I was quite exhausted,
mm-hmm.
still quite exhausted. And that little reprieve of having dinner at my sister's house made me realize I do need more help. Acknowledging the fact that you need help and you should ask for it.
And people would be so happy to help.
Yeah. And so I texted my sister back and I said, could I have dinner tomorrow and the day after,
mm-hmm.
please? Mm-hmm. And Kira really liked playing with her cousin. So please? And she's like, yeah, of course. Let me know exactly what days and I will do the shopping and I would figure it all out. And it was great. I would go and pick up Kira early from daycare. We'd have some one-on-one time for a little bit. And then we'd go over to my sister's house. She'd make dinner. Add enough leftovers so that I could have lunch the next day.
Yes. Oh, that's love.
Then I was able to recover and recuperate that mm-hmm. gas tank of mine. It took about 3 days
mm-hmm.
for that to all happen. And then we went to Vancouver again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like 2 days in, and again, my gas tank was depleted. But then we came home, and now we're home. But it just got me thinking about all the times that I think I can keep going, but I really can't. People need to stop and reassess and figure out where you're at. And especially when you ask for help and then you get it, that's when you realize, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I really should have asked for help a lot sooner.
And people don't know unless you do ask. And she, and just look at your sister's response and how willing mm-hmm. and amazing it was that she was wanting to step up and do that for you, and how amazing it is that you guys live so close to each other, walking distance.
That was the best thing.
To be able to go over for dinner and have that resource and be able to walk home and, you know, timeliness, put your daughter to bed mm-hmm. rather than having, you know, to drive across town or worry about all those things. She's just right there and yeah. you can do that. And she, of course, you would do that for your sister if it was reversed. And right so that if she ever needs to ask for help, mm-hmm. of course, she will come to you and it will feel like she can do so as well. Like to be able to ask for it, you're doing her a service because then she, of course, I can go to Mary if I need help, yes, right? Exactly. You're actually doing her a service by asking for it as well, Mary.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then bringing it back full circle, at one of the dinners, she says, well, are you still going to take my student then? Because mm-hmm. we're leaving on our vacation on Monday. And I was like, this Monday? I thought you meant,
oh dear.
Yeah. I thought it was like two Mondays away. I thought I still had time. And I was like, yeah, I'll take your student. I'll take your student. And then she's like, no, it's this Monday. I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't take your student. I really don't think I have the resources and the energy to deal with that right now. So what she had sort of pre-planned in the back of her mind anyway, because the student is older, she is an adult, and she, I think she's done this before with like one-off days on the long weekends or something, where she is allowed to stay in the house alone by herself. My sister would just have to pay her back for all the meals. What we originally decided was, okay, maybe her student will just come to my house for dinner and then she can pack a lunch. And then she would just go home and sleep in her room at my sister's house. But then we also thought, oh my gosh, if I can't make dinner mm-hmm. with just Kira, then how am I going to make dinner for a student too? Mm-hmm. And so then my sister and the student and I, the three of us all talked together and said, okay, would it be then okay if you just stayed in the house by yourself and I can give you money for the food? And she was like, yeah. And she also has a really good friend. She ends up going to that friend's house all the time anyway. And they make dinners and meals together all the time anyway. So my sister asked, you know, I will still give you money so you can buy groceries and make dinner with your friend, but is that okay with you? And is that a situation that you feel safe in? And she said, yep. Mm-hmm. While you're on vacation, that's totally fine. And so I also said to her, you know, I am still here.
If you're in a situation,
yeah,
feel free to come or call.
Yeah. You know where I live. My sister created a WhatsApp group chat. And so we're all connected. And I said, anytime you need anything, you call me. And I can help you. It's just the everyday, I might be taxed. But you call me if you need anything and I can check up on you. And she was totally fine with that. So,
oh good.
I don't have a student right now.
Yeah. But you are there to support if needed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think people just need to realize when rest is important, mm-hmm. when to say no. And when to call it quits. Mm-hmm.
And it's good too to communicate around that rather than taking something on that you really can't meet as you should be, rather than taking yeah. something on and having a potentially bad situation, right? Where it's just you're not able to meet her needs.
Yeah.
Or even right now, your own and your daughter's the way that you're wanting to. Mm-hmm. You guys are going through a really tough time and it's, you know.
Yeah, I know. But it's also, I think, me verbalizing it,
which is huge.
Yeah,
which is what we want our students to be able to do as well, right?
Yeah, they need to recognize signs.
We're walking the walk.
Yeah. And I think this topic is for anybody, mm-hmm. really, not necessarily homestay parents or international students, but anybody in general. Just take a step back and having that realization that your brain lies to you all the time. Because you think you can do something. It was explained to me once like a software-hardware problem.
Okay.
So your body is your hardware.
Right.
Like a computer.
Like a computer. Okay, I'm visualizing that.
I'm just going. It's fine. And your software is your brain and all the neurons in your brain, where if something isn't working, it's going to find a different way to make it work. That's what software is programmed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So your software is telling you, yes, I can do this. Yeah, I've taken students in all the time. Yep, no problem. But it's reworking that path and not letting you know that you're too tired to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always trying to go, 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 go. So what is the best way for your brain to keep going is to not think about the problems that you might have. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm picturing like all these things just racing, like race. Like the software racing, just racing, and not, it sees an obstacle, like just bashing through.
Yeah, because your brain wants to keep going.
Yeah.
Your brain wants to make sure that you're functioning and that you're going to keep going. So it will find ways to lie to you to make you think that you're still okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a step back, you might realize that you do need a little bit of help and support. So I was thinking to talk about some resting tips.
Right. And we had mentioned earlier knitting.
Yeah. So even for students, because you had a student
who
would not sleep and would not rest.
Well, it was my mother's student.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I had her for two nights.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was out of town. I had one of her students and it was over, I think, a pro D day or something. Well, there was a school day and a pro D day. And so for the school day, I kind of left it alone because I didn't want to disrupt the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
But I had known about this one student was that she studied a ton. And she was doing also, I think, some Japanese studies on top of her English studies. So she was remotely by internet or something like that, also taking on other studies. But yeah, the feedback I was hearing was that she was just up all night and studying and we would see her when she would come over to our house. You know, we would be having conversations and if we would leave the room to go get some tea or something, the girls and I, we'd come back and there she would be with her head just resting on a pillow, like sitting there, but she had fallen asleep.
Oh no.
I would be scared to wake her up. But like, she was just very tired. The first night I kind of left it alone because I knew it would be very disruptive and very upsetting for her. But the second night, it was a pre-OD day the next day. And I was like, okay, I can't leave this alone. My husband, Blake, loves to play video games. It's like an online experience for him. He has his coworkers and they strap on their headsets and the wireless mics. And he actually physically pulls the recliner chair in front of the television.
Oh, geez.
And he like the ottoman and he just sets up right in front of the TV after the kids go to bed. And he gets his like video game system and they all talk to each other and they play along. Right. Mm-hmm. Like anyway, that's what he does. So he's setting up to do this and the student was just like she was studying and in the living room and then all of a sudden it's like at a bedtime, right?
Yeah.
And she moves to the kitchen to start carrying on and I was like, oh, sweetie, what are we doing? And she's like, oh, well, I'm just going to study for the night. I'm like, oh, no, honey, it's bedtime. The studying's done. It's time for rest. And she's like, oh, no, I have so much work to do. And I was like, oh, well, I think that it's really good idea for you to go to bed and stage like a basic intervention. We had a good giggle about it. Like she was a real good sport. But when we think back about this, like I'm really not her homestay mom. This is my mother's student. I'm like a big sister who let the power go to her head, you know, and kind of like tries to put her little sister to bed, like is basically what's going on here. And so I just took away her books and I gave them to my husband and made him sit on them.
While he's
playing his video games. And I was like, yeah, when we are homestay parents, it actually does come with a manual and I'd be so happy to bring it out for you. But what it does say is that when you're hosting students that they turn off their electronic devices by like, I think it is like 11 o'clock or something like that. And I can turn off the Wi-Fi in our house right now. It would make my husband very upset because he is playing the video games.
Yeah.
You can call the coordinator. You can tell on me if you want. I'd be happy for you to do that. We could talk to her together about the rules. If you feel the need to tell on me, we can do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the year we had our Christmas puzzle that you'd lent to us.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if you're feeling tired, we can puzzle. Let's go puzzle. And so we talked more about over the puzzle. And I was just like, you know, it's really important. You're studying so hard that the things that you're learning need time to settle in your brain. And the way that does that is through sleep.
Yeah.
And we talked about the importance of sleep. And I gave her like a TED talk about sleep.
Oh, Jesus.
And she was, and I was just letting it settle for her. And then I was like, did you want some tea? I can make you some sleepy time tea.
Like, you're bringing out all the resources here.
I was
here.
Bringing out all the resources. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm really not mean. Let's go have some Haagen-Dazs ice cream. And I busted out like my stash of Haagen-Dazs ice cream. And we had some ice cream together and a good giggle. And then I was like, well, if you really want to read, if it is just as an act of reading, we have some really good mysteries here. Or the kids have like graphic novels. Do you like Calvin and Hobbes? if it's the sound of somebody's voice, I could read to you. You know, like, I'd be so happy to read to you. I really just love you and want you to have a good rest. Like, that's at the end of the day, I just need for you to have a good rest because I don't think that you're actually sleeping. Like, what time are you going to bed? And she's like, well, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, that's just not good because you're up early to go to school. And I just need to know that when you're in my house, you're having a good sleep. And so I'm like, let's just go down to your bedroom and I'll show you what it looks like. It's, you know, it's really,
it's cozy
and comfy. And so as we're walking past my husband, I walk ahead of her to go downstairs. Mm-hmm. She indicates to him, and he's just like stuck in video game zone mind. She got him to give her textbooks back.
Oh, he was not paying attention.
Oh, this is good training for him for when he has teenage girls and our girls come home.
Yes.
Oh, my dear. And we still giggle like to this day, like about how easy it was to manipulate him to give the textbooks back. So then I had to confiscate the textbooks and hide them in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, I also took away her house key and her cell phone and I hid them away in my bedroom.
So you took away the house key so she couldn't go back to your mom's house across the street.
To get more textbooks.
Right. Oh my gosh.
It was a hardcore intervention. And so then I took her downstairs to the room and I showed her the cozy bed and everything. And she's like, oh, but I just really need my cell phone. I was like, okay, honey, tell me why. Well, I need my cell phone because I need to set an alarm clock. An alarm clock. Wonderful. Here's one right here. What time do you need to wake up? At which point she just, you know, crumpled and realized the jig was up. But she did, you know, have a really good sleep. The next morning she had found a piece of paper and she had filled the front and the back with like equations, math equations until she could fall asleep. But that's okay. That's what it took for her to be able to like
fall asleep,
rest her mind. Mm. But then she had like a really good sleep, like 6 or 8 hours or however many. And she just told me the next day that she just felt so loved. So, you know, she did it and she still went Black Friday shopping with me and, awesome. And listened to the crazy mind of Erin as we're driving. But she did say that because I took away her house keys, she did get up after Blake went to bed to search the house for keys, for my keys, to see if she could go across and get homework. So I was right to do that.
You just knew.
I knew.
Predicted it.
And I was like a big sister that was totally went. The power went to her head and she just was like, nope, you're going to bed. But rest is just so important. I just really wanted her to have a good sleep and she did feel so productive the next day. She felt so productive that she wasn't stressed and we were able to go out shopping together and have that good experience.
Awesome. Students feel they need to be successful. And in order to be successful is to study, 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 study all the time. But being successful doesn't mean that you have to dedicate all your time to studying or to that project or whatever you're doing, such as learning English. Being successful also means knowing when to rest so that all that information you've learned gets processed and stuck in your brain. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't rest, how are you ever supposed to remember anything that you've learned? Your brain can't process without sleep. I think that rest is a deliberate skill that you need to learn. And so it sounds like that student just doesn't have the resting skill. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know how to do it. So you had to help her and teach her and show her all the little tips and tricks to make it happen. So one of the things that I try to do before recognizing that if I kept going, I would be burnt out. Burning out is where you fail, you're overworked, you're exhausted, and you can't successfully do or remember anything. And that happens. So one of the things before sleep, before bedtime, that I like to do is actually just turning off the phone and the TV. Okay, maybe I don't turn it off, but like putting it away. Because if you're constantly looking and reading at things, your brain is on the go.
It's worrying. It's
thinking. It's wired. Oh, I just read about this article. Oh, well, what if this happened and then that happens? Oh, maybe I should do this. Oh, tomorrow maybe this should happen and this plan is going to happen. Oh, maybe we will do this. And then it just cascades with all the thinking. So try and put your phone down. Or I try to stop watching TV an hour before, or like take that hour to do some sleep rituals. At one point, I used to do yoga before bed. Meditative yoga, restorative yoga, just nighttime yoga where it's just slow and you're just stretching and relaxing and calming your body and your mind before sleep. But I haven't been doing that too often, but I know that helps. The other thing that I love to have is this app called Insight Timer. Have you heard of it?
No.
It is a free app. Yay, I love free. And a lot of it has to do with meditations. But one of the best things that they have on there is either sleep meditations, if you like somebody speaking to you, or sleep music. Because certain frequencies in music can help calm your mind and nervous system. So there's different types of music on there to help you sleep and different lengths too. It will calm your mind, relax your body, and prepare you for sleep. So I just have this little app that plays this music for like the next half an hour, 60 minutes, however long you need it to. And it helps me fall asleep.
Okay, but then I have a question.
Uh-huh.
But is that on your phone?
Yep.
But then what happens after you fall asleep?
It turns off by itself.
Okay.
Well, the app stops.
Okay.
On its own.
Yeah. Neat.
And then sometimes in the middle of the night, if I wake up, I just turn the app back on and play another one so I can fall back asleep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I like that one. The other one that I just learned from a psychologist friend of mine. Well, I had been using this app for a couple years now to help me fall asleep. But there was a week where it just wasn't working. I'm like, I do all the tricks that I normally do to try and fall asleep. And insomnia just hits. And I can't either A, fall asleep, or B, I do fall asleep right away, but I wake up at like 2 and then 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. before the alarm actually needs to go off. So she was telling me about something called the cognitive shuffle. Never heard of it.
Yeah, what is it?
It was actually created by a Canadian professor. He is a researcher at SFU. So a university close to here. And it's a simple technique that helps redirects your brain's focus that routinely keeps people awake all the time. So it will shuffle your thoughts to sleep.
I'm picturing cards shuffling.
Kind of.
Okay.
Here's how it works for your brain. Pick a 4 or 5 letter word and make sure that word doesn't have any double letters in it. So for example, the word bell. Mm-hmm. Would not be good because there's 2 L's.
Okay. I've got the word card.
Card. Perfect.
Okay.
So as you're falling asleep, you're going to think of the first letter, C. Now think of all the words that you can think of that starts with the letter C, but at the same time, visualize it. So C, cup. You can think of a cup. Car.
Cow.
Cow. Cop. Keep going. Until you're not struggling, but like, oh, I can't think of it. Or I keep repeating the same words.
Okay. Cantaloupe. Yeah.
Yeah. Cantaloupe. Oh, good one.
Thanks.
And then move on to the next letter of that word. What was the word again?
Card.
Okay. What's the next letter?
Ant.
A. So yes, ant. Picture the ant. Okay, great. Next arc. R. Pick an arc. All the other letters that begin with A.
All right.
Yep. And then once you exhausted that, move on to the next letter, which is
R.
R. Usually radish. By then, radish. Oh, good one. By the second or third letter.
Danish.
I fall asleep. Oh, Danish. Wow.
Dahlia.
Dahlia. But I never get to the last letter. I never do.
Oh.
I always fall asleep.
You fall asleep. But what about like for people like me who are like into words? Like what if this just wakes us up? Like you play like Word Scrabble or you play
I don't know. Quiddler. How about you test it out and let me know?
I will. I'm going to tell my crib buddies too. They're like one of them's really into words. Okay. Thank you.
And this is supposed to be monotonous enough, but not too boring that you don't want to do it. It's supposed to be enough to help you focus on that instead of what do I need to do tomorrow? Oh, what are we going to do while we're on vacation next week? Oh, did I buy that? Oh, is that bad in the fridge now? Like all those things.
Yes.
This is supposed to help you not focus on that and calm your mind and fall asleep.
The shuffle. I'm going to do
cognitive shuffle.
The cognitive shuffle. I'm going to do that. And then I guess if once you're done with that word, you can make a new word.
You could. Yes.
Or make it harder.
Yeah.
Make it longer.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Mary.
Yeah. And I'll have those. You can put those links in the show notes.
I will do that.
In there. So yeah, a little Canadian technique to help you out.
Oh yeah. Canadians. We like that.
So yeah, rest is important. And I hope those little tips will help you or anybody else realize that rest is needed. You have to have it.
Or else I might come there and take away your study tools. Yes. Don't make me do it. You know I will.
Yes, you I will.
Yeah. I'm crazy like that.
But it's all for love, Erin.
It is for love. And she really loved me, thankfully. We had a giggle and it went well. I was like, this is either going to go really well or really, really bad. But you're going to have a good night's sleep.
All right, Erin. Good night then.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to The Homestay Kitchen, hosted by Mary Chan and Erin Eastman. Produced by me, Mary Chan of Organized Sound Productions. Web and show notes by Erin Eastman. Like what you're hearing? Write us a review wherever you listen. Or drop us an email at homestaykitchen@gmail.com. We would really appreciate it. For more information on this episode, visit homestaykitchen.com. And when you're ready to dish up your stories, connect with us on Instagram @homestaykitchen or on Facebook. Thanks for joining us.